like the same conversations around the whole disability access thing, you know, the same conversations around gender, the same conversations around race.
Yes.
Like, it's just people looking for a sentence or like, just treat me as you would yourself.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And I feel like it's, we've definitely gone through a period where we're like, well, no, like the conversations about race are very different from conversations about gender, very different from conversations about disability. And we need to make sure that we don't draw parallels between them. But then actually, if you look at the people that are doing the oppressing, they employ the same sorts of tactics with all those groups. So it's like, well, rather than looking at each other and going, but we're the same but different, why don't we look at those people who are doing it and say, what structures and tactics are they using on all of us?
Mm.
Do you know what I mean?
I don't even feel like it has to be like a us against them kind of thing. I think it's like a re-education of everyone, or just an acceptance from everyone. Like, treat other person as you would want to yourself. Like, just be kind.
Yeah, and open. It's not just, oh, I can't get up the stairs, but it's like, there's little things every day.
Subtle little things that weigh on.
Allow somebody to get incrementally further forwards.
Yeah.
Like, the mental energy of, like, how do I get there? Like, you know,
you're just trying to get to the same space these other people are.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And you're just like, right, what is the route? If that isn't the route, what is the route? Okay, try again. You know, it's just like, fucking hell. Could you stop?
You know what, like, that for me is, it's just, it's so funny. Because the way you're saying it, like, there's the physicality of it, for sure.
Mm-hmm.
But it also is like, oh, in art or just someone, you're trying to get into this space that, like, you just, it's about like ambition or just wanting to belong, wanting to exist, wanting to be like seen. Yeah.
And like, you have to do so much extra work before you even get in the door.
So much extra.
And there's no map.
And you're looking at other people's souls as you float them through.
Yeah. Like, even if you go to art school, if you're the only disabled person in the room, or you're the only black person in the room.
Yeah, it's not just about being in the room.
You're gonna, maybe people aren't gonna get what you're saying, or you try and make a point with your art and people don't understand the context of it. So they go, oh, it's just not very good. But you're like, but that's because you're reading it with the wrong aesthetics.
Yeah, or with the wrong lens. Like, for me, with that work, I mean, you can do whatever you want anyway. But with that work, I was, when you were saying that, it was sort of like my heart was beating louder and stronger.
Okay.
I don't know how you would even, like, do something with that or.
Okay.
But it's also like, there are so many barriers being. For them to like even step into the community as well, step in, like move between.
Yeah. Like, you're very much expected to stay in your own box, for sure.
It's not a problem that we're gonna solve.
What do you mean? Of course it is. We'll do an installation, change the world.
Change the world.
Power of art. But I think it is really cool, like, that, you know, this idea of Esther's, where rather than being like, well, I'm white and disabled, so I shouldn't really talk about race issues, and you're black and not disabled, so you shouldn't really talk about disability. I love this idea of Esther's to be like, actually, we've got more in common. And by not talking to each other about what we've got in common, we're sort of losing a bit of solidarity because we're keeping ourselves in little boxes.
Exactly.
Or even, like, I don't know, I had this thought the other day where it's like the essence or the sort of being alive or life itself is kind of not giving up and not wanting to die. Because, like, being alive is death as well, you know, like they're both next to each other.
Yeah.
And I think conversations around death as a thing should be more comfortable in society.
Mm. It's interesting, the second one, when you talk about being alive is being dead, and being alive is basically not giving up. And that's a really interesting conversation in disability. It's a huge conversation in disability, because it's sort of like, you know, when people say, oh, how do you cope? And it's like, well, there is no choice. I'm either this or dead. So, you know, so there's this sort of whole thing about being resilient and bravery and, oh, you carry on. It's like, well, there isn't. It's not like, this is what I've got. I get one life, and this is the one I've got to live, so I'm going to live it. And then you also get from the ABLE community, like, oh, you know, if I was you, I'd kill myself. Or just this disgusting kind of euthanasia-based idea that disabled people just get in the way and we ought to kill ourselves so that everybody else can have an easier time of it. And
it's ridiculous, to be honest.
And it just, you know, it forgets.
Like that life value thing,
And she was like, oh, but if I was disabled and I got COVID, I wouldn't want to be resuscitated. I'd just want to die. And I think, like, we should use the equipment on the able-bodied people so that, because, and I'm like, so you're saying that my life is worth less than your life?
Literally.
And I should lay my life down so that you can live. So that idea of, like, you know, when you said, like, being alive is just that you haven't, you're not dead yet, that's really something that I think a lot of abled people don't get their head around in terms of disability.
So, like, a lot of what the work started from was, like, thinking about the sister dying bill.
Oh, really? Yeah,
Yeah, and, like, wanting to maybe have a space to, what is that about?
I mean, I think the concerns from the disabled community are that there is the support for disabled people is eroded, like they're changing the PIP criteria and the universal credit criteria, and the access to work is being removed. Until we've really exhausted all the possibilities for assisted living, we should not be talking about assisted dying. Because a lot of the reason that disabled people want to kill themselves is because their quality of life is so shit, and we could do something about that as a society.
Sick. Oh, I love this. What is it? Like, because who knew that the parallels were so sort of thick between, I guess, disabled conversation and, for me, not current, but like past race conversations, you know, and sort of like hierarchies of life. Yeah, no, amazing.
Yeah,
maybe you can do something like really powerful and sort of charged in. So, like, those are the ideas and those are the sort of thoughts, and so, like, bringing that into the work, or like just having a space where that's where guiding people to think about those sort of conversations.
Yeah, and it's interesting, like, disability is probably the only, I think, criteria where you cannot be it and then become it. Like, I'm never going to be black. I'm never going to know what it felt like to be a black kid growing up in the UK. I can't. But you could become disabled tomorrow. And I think there's that level of fear that people will lose their privilege and become one of the others.
I think that's, like, that's a lot of the thing for me within the work as well. It's just, like, sides of privilege, because everyone has some level of privilege. And, like, you leverage it in different ways or at different times or whatever, but the sort of anxieties around privilege or feeling like you're better than someone else or better position. Those little nuanced sort of like negotiations. Are you useful? Are you not? Are your value to current society? And if we have the option to make a choice, like choices. If you have the option to make a choice of, like, if you exist or not, do you exist?
And who gets to decide what valuable is?
And then also, like, then does it compromise, or is it like, let's say, because there, I think there are moments in sort of Black history, or like every kid or parent goes through a thing where it's like, oh, my kid came to me and said they wanted, they wish they were white, kind of thing. And so, like, in sort of disabled chat, is that like being able to, it's like,
yeah. Well, you hear so many people, especially people who are newly disabled, so people who've become wheelchair users or people who get an illness, saying, I don't want to be disabled. And it completely negates all the experience and wisdom and knowledge and beauty that's in our community. And people be like, I don't want to be this. It's like, well, you don't know what it is. The bio power thing, like when we're talking about, like how do you measure a person's worth to society? And that's like Foucault, and he talks about bio power and how we're all measured by how much we can contribute to the machine, basically, in a sort of post-industrialized society. And that really resonates back to like when slaves had a literal price on them, like, where you're literally lining up humans and saying how much each one of them is worth to you.
Yeah. I feel like that has always existed, like throughout society, sort of like subjugating other. But the curious bit about the like transatlantic slave trade was that it wasn't spoils of war kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
It was just, it was trade of human.
It was business.
Yeah, it was business.
Yeah.
And then that's where it's war. But the conversational topic is a bit troublesome anyway. You know, this is that history, so I have to be angry. I think it's interesting for everyone to talk about it in a sort of learned way.
Yeah.
Because you're not at fault for like your ancestry.
Yeah.
No one's at fault for their ancestry.
Yeah. I think though it shines a light on systems that are still kind of quietly operating.
Exactly. Yeah,
and ways that we think about people that are so old that they're just ingrained in our culture. It's also that interesting balance between, like, I think with a lot of groups, it's kind of like, well, let us speak for the things that we've experienced and experiencing and the things that we need change, and listen to our perspective. And that's really powerful and really important, that self-advocacy and self-control, especially in like disabled circles where you have, you know, charities operating for disabled people, but none of the disabled people are doing jobs they're getting paid for. Like, because we want to do it because we know what we're talking about. But on the other hand, we'd love them to just get involved and fucking do some of the work. So.
Exactly. It's a shared experience.
So it's like,
it's just dialogue.
Yeah, it's up to all of us.